This is the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 22nd, 2013. And this week, we talk about the value of a Pyro Man rookie card.
You're going places, Pyro.
You're going places, son. Straight to the Hall of Fame with you.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. My name is George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of games and culture. And today we're talking about the age-old hobby, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we did in the early 90s. People were collecting all sorts of trading card games.
People have been collecting cards since... Humans have been collecting cards since humans have been making paper.
That's very true. But how often have people collected Wolverine cards?
Oh, man. Just before we launch into the... maybe we should just say it. We're going to talk about these weird Steam trading cards that got announced.
Yeah, and it's weird because I think initially our plan was not to talk as in-depth about them. And then the more we learned about it, the weirder it got.
And also, the more I learned about it, the less I feel I understand them, so we decided to just make a podcast about it.
Well, the good thing is, it actually does open up a gateway of conversations about what we find valuable in games,
Yeah. What
sorts of things turn our guts inside out when we hear about them.
Yeah.
and the sort of the way that Valve, I think, is becoming a different entity than we used to know them, right? Like, yep. We joke about hats a lot, but that thing, this hat craze in Team Fortress 2, if you will, is clearly being expanded by Valve, and the trading card game in particular is super interesting in that regard.
Yeah. So before we talk about Valve trading cards, because this might inform some of our decisions as to how far to participate in this, did you ever collect cards when you were a kid, or do you currently collect any cards?
Do I currently collect cards? No, I don't currently collect cards. Who has budget for that? Hey, I'm an adult, Scott.
I still know people who, because I mean, I feel like the only time when I really had, there was a time there. Like you were alluding to in the 90s when I somehow happened upon like a really cool stash of X-Men cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of them too, like dozens, maybe 100 or something
of X-Men cards. I mean, I had like shoeboxes full of them as kids.
Yeah. But that's pretty much the only thing. Like I never collected sports cards. It was just X-Men.
I mean, I did Magic cards, of course, but you can actually play with Magic cards. You can't really play with X-Men cards.
I think that's a good distinction to make too, and something that will inform our conversation because,
Yeah. Like
the X-Men cards of days past, these Steam trading cards are pretty removed from any sort of actual game. Yeah. Like it's not Magic cards; you're not actually playing a game with them.
Well, and then the other reason, of course, to collect anything is that the hope or idea that one day you might be able to sell them for a profit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't collect cards for that reason, but for a while I had stamps. Oddly enough.
Well, stamps are a similar, like, I mean, people collect them for similar reasons, you know?
Yeah,
like,
but no one brings their stamp collection to middle school to be like, oh man, check out my sweet 1932 Abraham Lincoln Memorial stamp.
Well, maybe in the you know, ritzier middle schools of the world, they do. But you're right, you know, it's not a, no matter how uncool X-Men cards were, I feel like stamp collecting was probably, you know, a rung lower on the cool ladder there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the one thing that does mention is the tangibility of those cards. Whereas a regular trading card game of you know, X-Men or even stamps, there's this hope that one day you can sell it on eBay or what have you. While there is a profit potential in the Steam trading cards, right now the cards are purely digital.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should just get into it. And I think the best way to do that is to define what a Steam trading card is according to Valve.
Yeah, so there's like a, you know, 1,000-word fact about all this stuff. and so my understanding is that they are, you know, digital icons that drop when, you know, you play certain games.
Yeah. So as you're playing Don't Starve or Team Fortress or any other game that potentially will be within their retinue,
yeah,
you will randomly get a card as you play. Now, the FAQ actually says that if you finish a game, and I think their example is Half-Life, you'll get about half of the cards randomly dropped that you could potentially get.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Half-Life might have 8 cards. One of them has Alex Vance on it. Another has Gordon. Another one has like a head crab or whatever.
Right? I want to get that head crab card.
Gotta get that rare head crab card. When you're done and all is said and done, you finish the game, you've got about 4 of the 8 cards that could potentially drop. Where are you going to get those other 4?
You are going to just spam the shit out of your friends list. I mean, you're exactly just gonna just hit everybody up.
So, when you first heard about this, Scott, like, what interested you about it? Is it something that right away you were just, ugh, this is a money-grabbing opportunity?
Well, the thing is, Valve is starting to do this thing with Dota as well, where it's like, it's kind of a money-grabbing opportunity, but it really doesn't cripple your ability to play games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Valve and obviously Riot and a few other companies out there are like on the forefront of making money off of games that don't, in ways that don't really impact the mechanics of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this trading card thing starts to blur the line a little bit, I feel like, but it's just another thing. Like, you know, we make jokes about hats, and this is yet another expansion of that same idea, in that it's even approximating physical things. You know, like, there's not even anything physical about this anymore, yet we're still kind of treating it like we would other cards.
Yeah. Know? So you're a little bit more forgiving of it, I guess, in that case, right?
I mean,
it doesn't affect the game per se.
Well, kind, but then you scroll down a little bit further, and you know, they address it, like, you know, how will this affect free to play games, and you know, the likelihood of drops is somehow linked to the amount of money you spend in
real world games.
Real world money, yeah,
right.
So it's like, you know, it's still somewhat random. You still might not be able to get all the cards in your game, so there still might be some trading happening, but you won't even get the drops unless you spend some money for this.
Right. So right now the trading card game's in a beta.
Yeah.
But I imagine that eventually this will just basically replace achievements, right? Like, this is basically a form of opting everybody into this process, right? I mean, when you play Team Fortress 2, you get a hat. It's not up to you.
You get a hat no matter if you want this hat or not.
I mean, you will, and you'll get an announcement for it. And one of the reasons that, you know, it's not just... I get that it may not affect the game in particular, but one of the strange things about it to me is that it is affecting the fact that we're playing games in a social space, we're playing games in a real space, and it is affecting that environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, imagine you had to play Dota 2 at, like, the Antiques Roadshow, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're surrounded by all of these old people who are, like, trying to trade, like, old Chevy hubcaps and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that experience is different than, say, playing in your living room or playing wherever else, right? Necessarily, when you play Team Fortress 2 and the hats come about, people will be typing in chat, oh, I don't have that card. Can you trade me that hat or oh, add me to your friends list so I can look at your hat list, or I don't know how this thing works, right? But
yeah,
potentially it could affect the play experience in that way.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, the interesting difference between how achievements are currently set up and how the card system seems to be set up, at least in this initial beta,
right,
is that, you know, there seems to be a much weaker link between in-game action and acquiring the cards.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, you do get those weird instances in games where, like, you jump onto a specific server and it's clearly been set up so that it's really easy to get, like, hey, here's the, you know, get 50 kills in, you know, 2 minutes type achievement, because it's just a meat grinder, you know?
Yep.
Whereas, you know, these cards seem to be tied a little bit more to just kind of drops and various points in the game rather than behavior in the game itself. So it seems like it's a related thing, but maybe not necessarily a completely, a completely parallel thing to,
right,
to achievements.
I could imagine, though, that this could transform to that point, right? Like,
yeah.
So, you know, they say when you're playing Half-Life at the end of it, you should get about 4 out of those 8 cards, right? Presumably that fourth card's not going to drop until you finish the game. So in some way, it's at the very least tied to how much time you're putting into the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit. Like, it's so weird to think about how, you know, we've had achievements for a handful of years now, maybe like, what, 6 or 7 years or something.
Yeah.
And they really are like kind of haphazardly put together. Like, what's the point? Like, they never were really monetized. You never really got anything for increasing your gamer score. Like, they were just a thing to, you know, take a look at what you played rather than have any, you know, outcome, you know, stem from them.
I mean, their goal is to motivate social behavior. That's the whole reason they exist, right? Like, they want to create a scene where it's keeping up with the Joneses, where your friend has X number of achievements in, you know, some motorsport game, and even though you don't like motorsport games, you're compelled to try to get more achievements than they have.
Yeah.
I mean, and that has an effect, right? Like, we're not going back. Achievements are here to stay. They've been here to stay for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
The trading card game is just, I feel like it's the early stages of what's next.
Yeah. Well, it's that thing where, you know, it's not just social pressure now. I mean, it is social pressure, obviously, but like there are now things you can do with them. Like, you can take actual, you know, you can take action on them in a way that you can't currently do with achievements, which, you know, is kind of like an escalation in, you know, this metagame that we've been having for a while.
Right. But you still can't play with them.
Right.
Like, it's not its own game. It's not, you're not unlocking some magic card that you can then sit down with your friends and play, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is still essentially, God, it's so weird that they even call it a trading card game.
Yeah.
Like, what, I don't know what else you would call it, but it's not really a game, right? There's no end, the end goal is to get all of the card, like, it's collecting them all, but it's just feeding into the sort of normal capitalist sort of gotta grab them all kind of mentality.
Well, and also, I mean, that's a good point, because what this really is, if you read even further down into the fact, like, these cards are a currency. So, like, if you have enough cards, you can craft a badge, and that badge will show up on your profile, or you can, you know, upgrade your badge to, you know, have an even more special badge. So, like, you know, Valve, this is one of Valve's many economic experiments that's happening as well. Like, they're monetizing achievements in a way that it doesn't seem like people have really done at this point.
What's weird to me is it feels very much like you're opting into a lottery system, whether or not you want to, right? Like, so the badges, when you get a badge, which you only earn by collecting all of the cards. So let's just go ahead and, like, run through a scenario, shall we?
Yeah, all right. So let's...
Scott, I'm playing Dota 2.
I'm calling you a racial slur.
I've got 5 cards, and I need 3 of them, and you just happen to have those 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I ping you. I said, Scott, like, dude, you have to hook me up with that donkey messenger card, man. I've been, like, playing so much Dota. I've spent $150, and I've got 60 cards of this one, but not the rare donkey drop, right? Mm-hmm. Can I have your card?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be sure.
I'd be like, well, I have been really eyeing Skyrim. Why don't you gift me that before I give you this card?
No, you know what? It's probably even worse than that. It's probably like, George, well, I've been playing Skyrim, and I'm missing the dragon trading card. Uh-huh. So George, why don't you go ahead and play more Skyrim, and when you get that card, then we'll do a trade.
Oh, man.
So I go, you know, I'm back at home, I'm playing, I don't even want to play Skyrim. I hate Skyrim.
Yeah.
This is a shitty game. I'm playing Skyrim anyway, because I got to get that, you know, the Devoken card or whatever.
Yeah.
We trade. I put my little badge together. Guess what? I get an opportunity to potentially get 10% off of some Steam game.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. Uh-oh. Sad. Yeah. I missed my opportunity.
Yeah.
Now what do I have?
You have a bunch of worthless cards.
I have a bunch of worthless cards. I have a badge that, like, I mean, the other weird thing is, so on top of all of this, they're adding a Steam level.
Uh-huh.
So there's, like, the sort of meta XP.
Yeah, a meta XP bar for just Steam.
Which you sort of have to have, right? Because if I get this badge and I don't get my opportunity to win 10% off some other, you know, the next Skyrim game, whatever, because I earned a Skyrim badge, right?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to feel like, oh, this was a waste of my time. Well, but, you know, next time I'll have another 10% chance. And, hey, at least I went up. I'm now a level 2 Steam user.
Yeah. Well, and then there's other, you know, hidden in this great, you know, manifesto of fact that we're going through, you know, what happens when you level up as well. Like, there's actual rewards to it, you know.
Yep.
Possible expansion of friends list. That's kind of interesting.
Oh, that's so... I mean, the weird thing that blows my mind... Okay, there's two things. Two things come to mind. First off, if your friends list isn't big enough, and there's a value in increasing your friends list, they should add that increasing friends list to everybody. Mm. Because there's a perceived value to it, right?
Well, I mean, they want... But, I mean, it's valuable to them, too. Like, so here's the thing. Like,
well, it is now.
Well, if they just flat out charged you for, you know, expanding your friends list, then, you know, whoever with the, you know, whoever had $5 to spare, $10 to spare, whatever they would charge for it.
They could just do it for free.
Well, they could do it for free, but why bother doing it for free when you can get people to buy more games to do it?
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's exactly right. But yeah. The logic there is, like, why give something away for free if I can get some cash from it instead?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, like, the exact type of thing that we always, like, rail against, like, Zynga and, like,
you know,
every other company in the world for doing.
Well, the weirdly uncomfortable thing that I see, too, is that my guess is you can only trade cards with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get more friends to trade with, you have to increase the size of your friends list. So you're leveling up so that you can perpetuate more trades so that you can level up.
Yeah. And then playing more games, buying more games.
Yep.
The cycle continues.
Yeah. They have some weird logic in particular I wanna call out too.
Yeah.
One second. Let me find where it's at.
Sure.
We need an
index for this whole thing.
We really do. It's really bizarre. Yeah. So I can't find exactly where they say it, but they ask, you know, what is the point of having a Steam level, right?
Mm.
And so here's their logic. They say, the Steam level is a quick way for users to see how much someone has invested in their Steam account and how valuable that user is to the rest of the Steam community.
Mm.
I don't know. I think that's kind of weird because the I don't know how many people use Steam today as a sort of meta Steam community where they go to look at, you know, other user profiles to see, oh, how many games has this guy played? What value is he adding to the Steam grand community as opposed to just using Steam as a platform to buy and play video games?
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, like, you know, like you were saying, that weird language about, you know, how much someone has invested in their Steam account, how valuable that user is to the community. Like, what is the value here? Like, is it you played 1,000,000 hours of Dota and, like, got the rarest of the rare cards? You spent $1,000,000 on Dota and got the rarest of the rare cards? But, like, you know, maybe there's someone who's valuable to the community, but it's because they're really nice to new players. Yeah. Or maybe someone is valuable to the community because they do really, really cool Let's Plays and get people into interesting games that they wouldn't otherwise take a look at. So, you know, the value to the Steam community is going to be something, again, that Valve starts to define. And, like, these cards could push one way or the other, you know, like, maybe if you get good reviews, you know, I'm assuming, I actually don't know if this is true or not, but, like, League of Legends has, like, the Tribunal, right? Like, you can be rated as a player. I can only imagine Dota has something similar. So, like, maybe if you have a really positive rating, that's the only way to get a card, you know?
Yeah, or it increases your odds of getting a certain type of card. Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of ways where they could attach the trading card game to positive player behavior, but across so many different types of games, across so many different achievements, and, you know, you're always going to have games where it's, oh, once you finish the game, you'll get a number, you know, a chance to get a certain type of drop or what have you. So no matter what, you're still going to be in a scenario, oh, and added to the fact that I could just trade people for it, right? It creates a scenario where even if they created a system that encouraged good behavior by giving you more drops, it doesn't necessarily mean that someone with a lot of trading cards is a good and positive value to the Steam community.
They're just a good barterer.
Yeah, they could just be a good barterer. Yeah, who knows? Or just have a bunch of sock puppet accounts or, you know, friends they can trade with. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, the interesting thing about the Steam level is that it's kind of that second order of economy. Like, you need to have badges before you can get XP, and in order to get badges you need to have cards. So, like, there's just a lot of investment and, like, thinking about that sort of thing that you need to do to even level up your Steam account.
Yep.
So it's just like this, you know, Valve is trying to expand Steam in like multiple ways. They're trying to expand it so that pretty much you know, every game comes out day and date, so there's, you know, you can just go to Steam and get, you know, whatever you could possibly get at GameStop. They're trying to expand it in the way that you know, you could buy any device and Steam can be on it. So, you know, they're going to start licensing out Steam boxes. They're going to make their own thing to do. Like, mm-hmm. Steam is on, hell, Steam is on Linux, for God's sakes. Like, they just want people on Steam.
Yep.
And then three, they're expanding it to, in terms of depth, like, they really want people to think of themselves as Steam citizens, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why would they allow you to make badges and theme your accounts if they didn't want people to, like, look at this as your home on the internet, you know? Yeah.
And that makes sense. I mean, of course they want to do that, right? Everyone else is doing it.
Everyone else is doing it, but not to this, like... I mean, you could always buy stuff on XBLA, but you would have to buy it directly. Like, you weren't really earning it so much. I mean, there are very... You know, there were limited times where, like, oh, you can only get this avatar thing at this time and place, or, you know, maybe you had to pre-order or something, but it was a much more naked financial transaction rather than a social transaction.
Yeah. And then I'm sure the other side of the coin, too, is just licensing agreements that they'll have with publishers and developers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you want, hey, we can have people from your team design trading cards to put it in your game. And yep. And we're telling you, oh, guess what? Like, people are really digging this. If you make this and your cards blow up, right, like, more people will buy your game. So, mm-hmm. of course, you know, that helps their connections with publishers. That makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah. And then, it becomes another thing of... similar to achievements, but another way to, like, dictate what gets into games, basically.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that weirds me out is that the community market, you could sell these to other players. So it's not just even trading. Like, you could straight up say, I'm going to give you this card for $10.
Yeah.
Like, I can easily imagine the sort of, you know, Chinese gold farmers are now farming, like, real gold.
Card farmers.
Card farmers. And who knows, right? Like, there's all sorts of weird things you can do with these. What if one particular card is just so rare, right, that it is really worth a large amount of money? Even if it's something as little as, like, 10, 20 bucks on grand scale, like, that could be something that's quite profitable. And not to say that, you know, an individual is going to start making a living by, like, trading Dota 2 cards.
Yeah.
But I presume that Steam is taking a cut from their marketplace, right?
Well, and also, you know, it's strange because they're making the market available, but they're also kind of in charge of the currency. So, yeah. Like, there's very little separation of power. Like, I was listening to someone talk about Dota the other day, and, you know, there's certain items in Dota that everyone wants. Everyone really was trying to trade and grind for, and they just really wanted to get it. And then, like, they put that item in question on sale so that anyone could buy it, and just the bottom just fell out of the economy for that item.
Yeah.
Like, everyone who had been, like, working so hard to, like, build up whatever item that, you know, whatever skin or whatever little thing that they wanted to do, like, it is now effectively worthless because anyone could just buy it directly instead of having to, like, you know, buy it from somebody because of the scarcity.
Yeah.
And so, like... they're just, they control everything, you know?
So what, did the price go down? Like, how much what does it cost?
I forget what the example was. I think it was on Idle Thumbs a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, but they were saying, like, you know, or no, it was on Giant Bomb. One of the Giant Bomb guys is really into Dota right now, and he was saying that, you know, you could have something that is worth, like, you know, several hundred dollars, but then they put it on sale for just the general public that anyone could buy, and then just, you know, the cost plummets because you could just buy it for whatever Valve is setting the price as.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. So, I've never really participated in any kind of stuff like this. Like, have you ever traded, you know, non-game stuff on Steam, like hats or anything like that?
No, I have had some friends ask me things. I might have, like, because I don't care, right? If someone was like, George, I'd really need that fireman hat, I'd be like, whatever, just take it away. I don't need it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I had it, right? Like, that's the type of, I don't know, I've given away games, right? Because Valve was always giving me a copy of Dota 2 and stuff, but...
yes. Or, you know, you get it in a bundle or something, like, but that's a very understandable transaction. Like what you were saying, you know, I've never given away hats or bought hats or traded hats. Cause you know, if you ask me right now, how do you even see where your hats are? I'd probably have to take a guess. Like, I imagine it's under like my profile and then some kind of like Steam inventory, but it's just something I never go to, you know?
I mean, I signed up for the trading card beta and it's like on my Steam thing. I don't know where to find my cards.
Yeah, I mean, I like while we were setting up for the podcast, I clicked on the thing, like join the group, and like I have this badges thing that's there now, but I don't think that's connected to the cards yet because I'm just getting badges for normal things.
Yeah, maybe I need to just play more Don't Starve and get those cards. Sweet cards.
Yeah, I need to get invited. And now I'm feeling left out. I need to play more video games.
You know what really weirded me out is when I read this line in the FAQ. It says, what are foil trading cards?
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad we're talking about this.
Foil trading cards are exactly what they sound like. They're digital cards that looks like they've been imprinted with foil.
Yeah, that's so logical.
So they're shiny.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Scott, it's so weird.
I feel like video games have gotten away from me.
Well, like, the weird thing is, right, like, foil cards, they're pretty, right? Like, it makes sense. And in the real world, I remember being so proud that I had, like, a foil Gambit or whatever.
Yeah.
And in Magic, right, when I was playing a lot of Magic cards, if I could, I'd rather have a foil card than a non-foil card.
Why not? It's, like, way cooler looking.
Looks jazzy, right? In the digital space, the I don't know if the idiocy is the right word. I'm feeling like it's... I think it might be the right word. I'm feeling like idiocy is a pretty good one. Uh-huh. It's so much more glaring to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, it's not a real card. There's literally no value to having a foil card other than its rarity. But I know that people are going to be selling them on the community marketplace for money.
Oh, yeah. And you know, not only that, but, like, you know, they'll be trying to hack. You know, they'll be, like, trying to game the system at somehow.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can only imagine, like, just kind of on a tangent, like the wild logistical problem that this type of thing is. Like, you know, now you know why Valve hires economists to, you know, take a look at this sort of thing. And like, just from a programming perspective and from like a rules perspective, like, this is an immense, immense amount of work for something that is absurd in almost every aspect.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And we're talking about like everything from on the technical side to the marketing side, where they have to make agreements with publishers and stuff, to the community support side, because it says right there in the FAQ, if you make a trade, guess what, you're screwed, you don't get anything from it.
Yeah, so it's like they have to get someone to like explain playground rules to all the pissed off people.
And it is playground rules. Like, this is straight middle school, where it's like, oh, sorry, you gave Bulbasaur to your friend and he didn't give you shit, right? Uh-huh. Finders keepers.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's...
But it's just so... You know, people... We're undergoing this weird shift where people are trying to figure out how to make money in video games again.
Yeah.
Because video games are so expensive to create, you know, the AAA versions anyway. And even cheap video games, you know, you can't... Very few people make a living off of independent games, so there's no money there. And you have... So now, like, there's this weird new way of making money off of things that are only kind of, you know, ancillary products of the games themselves.
Yep.
You know, like... EA is abandoning online passes for its games, and Valve is creating a new economy based on, you know, fiat. Like, it is saying that these things are cool, therefore they then have value, you know?
Yeah, but they don't have any inherent value whatsoever.
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, like, there's no gold standard or whatever.
We
like,
need just... to go back to the gold standard of video games.
Yes, the Silicon standard.
Ugh. I mean, what's so next? Like, golden tickets in your box of fucking, you know, your game box or whatever? Like, what?
I mean, that's literally what this is, right? I mean, it's just, like, you can have a shinier thing on your profile. You can have an emoticon. Like, it is about, you know, people, it's social stature and you know, rarity.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about achievements in the past and the way that achievements could potentially add value to an experience when they're tied to player behavior, right?
Yeah.
But I don't see this anywhere here, and even if it was here, there's so many other factors on the opposite side of we're just creating a system that feeds into this weird psychological exploitation of humans, you know.
Humans need to collect things.
Yeah, our weakness to finding things that are rare. You know, they're rare because there's a false rarity created. They're not rare because they're genuinely rare. Like, you're not actually panning for gold.
You're banning for cards.
You're banning. I mean, and it will come to that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, people already do that for hats and achievements and everything. It's just, you know, what Valve is trying to do, especially as they move towards more and more free to play initiatives, because I mean that's definitely what's going to happen.
Is map our dystopic future?
It really is. Like it is. And I mean, this could go real bad. There can be some good parts, like if it influences people's behavior in a positive way, like the Dota examples we were talking about, like if it makes people less jerky. Like, I don't care why people aren't jerks. So if they're jerks for self-interested rules about wanting cards, that's fine. If the end result is them still not being jerks, maybe that's okay. Maybe I'm just that practical, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really, but it's something that I never really see myself participating in, but maybe it's just a, you know, it's just a generational thing. Like I just, you know, I was on Steam before cards, and so I never can really conceive of why you'd even want them, you know?
Right. But in the past, maybe you kind of did want real cards, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
You're right. I just kind of wish there were an opt-out option. I mean, I guess maybe there is right now, which is just don't sign up for the beta.
Which we've already both done.
We've already both done. It's for science.
I mean, we're professionally obligated to do it.
Literally, I'm going to be asking you for, like, fucking foil cards in, like, 2 days.
So, if any of you want to write in and beg for our rare cards, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And pretty soon we'll be making a trade forum for all of you card traders out there.
Experiencepoints.net/cards.
Experiencepoints.net, as Scott so correctly pointed out, that's a place you can go to for cards.
If you leave 10 comments, we'll give you a card.
Let's gamify everything.
Yeah, and then you can turn those into badges.
Do you think that this was Valve's plot from the beginning? They're like, you know what we have to do is one day we'll be so ubiquitous, all PC gamers will use Steam.
That's the scary thing, to think, like, if you go into Gabe Newell's office, there's like a whiteboard in there from like 1998, and he's like, here it is, guys. Like,
yeah, and then in 2013 it says, you set off my trap card.
Yeah. Alright, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Always appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
Every time we disagree, there's a place you go to, because I drove you there. Well, I took more than I could take.
A Yu-Gi-Oh! Reference right there, baby.
It's time to duel! Duel!
You need to put that in at the end credits, by the way.
Okay.
Like, oh my god, I just read I just read certain words that I had to write down.
I just read words.
Hold on a second, my pen is dead. Oh my god, this is ridiculous. I can't believe this is a thing.